Welcome to This Week in Wrestling. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer, here with Doug and Eric and Clintus. I don't know if Clintus here yet.
Yeah,
he is. I'm here. Hi, Clintus.
Okay.
Hey.
So we got a lot of news stories to talk about this week, but Doug, why don't you get the plugs out of the way first? Talk about what we're doing next week.
Yeah, all right. Make sure you listen to Anthony and Boxman, and I believe Smark's still part of the show. I don't know. It's been a while. But listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday night. Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes, 10 o'clock Eastern time. They usually go on the air as soon as whatever wrestling is on that night is over with. And they usually talk, Wednesdays they go on after Dynamite and NXT. Fridays they go on after SmackDown. If there's a pay-per-view on a Saturday or Sunday, they usually do a post-show.
Yep.
So listen to them, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They're also available on all podcast platforms, and they do a show every other Saturday called the Hollywood Hangout. And also, obviously, listen to us, our unscripted wrestling podcast, every Friday night, either 8 or 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on Blog Talk Radio. Also catch us on all podcast platforms. And the show that you're listening to right now, the This Week in Wrestling show, which I'm surprised for a show that we could not get off the fucking ground because we were snake bit every time we tried to do this fucking thing. We've done five or six shows in a row, and we haven't fucked anything up yet.
I think it's mainly because of Corona. Yeah, everybody's
in quarantine,
and we changed the name of the show. So
that may have had something to do with it, but. Listen to us. We usually go on, usually around 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. Also on Blog Talk Radio, plus catch us on all major podcast platforms. This upcoming Friday night, trying a new concept called Fantasy Warfare. Basically, the backstory to this concept was when Eric had a website many moons ago.
I know, right?
I actually did a couple articles called Fantasy Warfare. Then Eric became a huge pain in my ass, and I decided not to write for him anymore.
That's how we became friends.
Yeah. Fantasy Warfare started out at one time as an article that I used to write, and now we're basically turning it into a concept for the show. We got a bunch of polls up and a bunch of groups. A lot of them are neck and neck. Some of them are not. There's going to be eight matches that we're going to be discussing. Basically, we're going to be playing the book. We're basically going to be having a booking meeting to decide who goes over, why they go over. It's going to be a heated discussion, I'm sure, because it'll be Eric, Daniel, and I. Clintus, are you going to be able to join us on Friday night?
No, I'll be working on Friday night, man.
Okay. Well, that's going to be terrible. That's going to be a shame, mainly because I also invited other people to be on the show, and they are outspoken and never shut the fuck up. So
did they say
that.
Yes?
Huh?
Did they say yes? Or haven't gotten back yet?
A couple of them said sure, just as long as I let them know what time. And I did, so I'm going to assume that they're at least going to try. So we'll see what happens. But Eric, how are the polls running right now?
In the three polls I put it in EPW, 70s, 80s, 90s group, and Wrestling Umbrella. the total votes for the first poll, Kurt Angle versus Bret Hart, is 32 votes total. All right,
hold on.
Hold on.
Thirty-two for Kurt Angle and Bret Hart.
Yep, between the three groups.
All right. Well, I got a grand total of 41 because I put it in the this week in or I put it in the old school group.
So that's 41. So that's actually still winning, right? Even.
Yeah. Well, what's Kerry Von Erich and Jeff Hardy's total?
Oh, I didn't put that down. Hold on.
Eric, you said you were going to have all this stuff ready for me and reveal it on air.
I said only the top vote getters in each.
Oh, okay. Well, technically, because when I looked at it earlier, because when you told me that you were going to have all this information for me, I actually went and I looked it up myself. That shows how much faith I have in you.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks for the insult.
I do something nice and...
Well, no, I actually already looked at when you were texting me, I was already looking it up.
Oh, so we were looking at it at the same time.
Yeah, so I had already looked it up and written it down, and then you told me, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to reveal it to you on air. I'm like, okay.
So Kurt Angle and Bret Hart has 41.
Yeah, Kurt Angle and Bret Hart's winning that one. The second one, which is AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Or Chris Adams versus Shawn Michaels.
I have 24.
I got 32 as a total on that one.
Okay.
To the 13 of Chris Adams and Shawn Michaels.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm assuming that's winning too.
Yeah. Dudley Boyz versus Demolition is winning in their poll over the Rock and Roll Express and the Young Bucks.
Yep.
Savage
and Jericho.
Number four, Savage and Jericho is two up on Punk and Steamboat, so that one could still go either way.
Yep. Big John Studd and Big Show. I have 17.
Big John Studd and Big Show. Well, I have Flair and Rollins one up on them.
Okay. And then Gino
poll,
and
poll number. Poll number six, which is Gino Hernandez versus Eddie Guerrero. They're 11 up on Dr. Death and Moxley, so they're up 22 to 11, according to my count. Yeah. And then Magnificent Morocco and Samoa Joe, they're down by one. McIntyre versus Piper is leading 17 to 16 over them. Wyndham and Hangman Page is at 14. And then I got Brock Lesnar and the Ultimate Warrior. Basically, that's the only one confirmed right now that we know we're going to do, because that's one. That's the one poll Eric didn't put up in any of the other groups.
It's poll number eight, which is what is it?
Brock Lesnar and the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're basically winning. They were winning by like six votes. We might as well just say that we're going to do that one. So the majority of them are, running away with it, but there's a couple of them that are still kind of neck and neck. So Eric, I don't know if you want to put them on Twitter or not. I tried, but my Twitter method isn't working.
Okay. I'll probably do it tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
I can put the closest ones together. The ones I think are going to be are very close.
Yeah.
All right, you want to get into it, Ed?
Yep.
Sure.
What do you want to start with today?
I want to start with what I wanted to, because I read a few articles obviously the main event of today's show is the Money in the Bank idea, and we'll get into that later. But
yep.
What I want to start with, what are you guys thinking about Eric Bischoff saying the TNA was WWE's competition before AEW?
I believe it.
Wow.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
10 years ago, yeah, I would believe that. I mean,
I'll
10 years ago, they kind of were, especially when Hogan came. Even if it was for like 2 months, they were.
Was it legit competition, though?
No. I will have to say
not
that.
At the end of the day, it wasn't.
Yes, they were. They were legit. I remember watching, and I look forward to watching Impact better than watching Raw or SmackDown any day of the week. Impact was definitely, once Kurt Angle showed up there to Impact, everything changed hands in my eyes.
Yeah, Kurt had a point there.
For the better?
I mean, I loved him. Yeah, I mean, actually, I thought it was better. What killed it, to this day, I really do think Bischoff and Hogan was paid.
Yep.
Paid off on this under table to kill it. Because it was fine on Thursday nights. I don't know what moron thought they can go up against Monday Night Raw. That was the dumbest move and killed it, the whole business right then. When they wanted to go live on Monday nights against
them. Exactly.
Because even though how bad Raw was, I was like, I can't watch TNA. And especially TNA was also showing a replay of that Impact still on Thursday nights. So it was totally disregarding the point of being live. I mean, if you're going to show the tape version on Thursday nights, everyone's going to turn in to watch Raw.
That's kind of like what NXT does. You put on USA Network and then...
Well,
but it's
always on network,
though. Yeah, that's true, yeah. What do you
that's
think,
Doug?
Yeah,
okay.
Doug, what are your thoughts
on the topic? I don't think they were necessarily competition when Bischoff and Hogan were running things, because Bischoff and Hogan fucked things up royally when they got there. And
they did.
Four words can sum up how bad they fucked it up. Bubba the Love Sponge.
Huh?
Bubba the Love Sponge. You bring that fucker in as all right, you automatically kill a company.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Okay. How to use the Dudley Boys and the Hardys as singles competitors. I think what about Bubba Ray? I think nobody saw Bubba Ray or Dudley as a single competitor until actually he got into TNA.
Right, and that's the thing, is that, like, you know, yeah, it was, you know, that was fine and all that, but I'm just saying is that, like, when Hogan and Bischoff came in and they brought in a lot of their friends, they brought in the Nasty Boys, they brought in Jimmy Hart, they brought in Bubba the Buttfucker, which, first of all, bringing that asshole in and what he did. I mean, here's why Bubba the Love Sponge is such a piece of shit. When there was that issue, the earthquakes or whatever in Haiti, or whatever happened in Haiti, Bubba the Love Sponge on his radio, Bubba the Love Sponge thought he was another Howard Stern. And basically, he was Howard Stern on he was a brain damaged Howard Stern, to be honest with you. That's probably the nicest way I can put it. Mainly because I can't say the word that I'm thinking. so he basically, like, all the relief for Haiti or whatever that was going on, he basically said, he goes, you know what, fuck Haiti. You know, why are we wasting all this time trying to rebuild, you know, whatever the fuck. Awesome Kong is of Haitian descent. She got upset. She beat the shit out of him.
rightfully
so. Hogan and Bischoff, because that idiot, even though he had it coming, that idiot basically threatened to sue the company if they didn't get rid of Awesome Kong. So they got rid of Awesome Kong, even though she was just, you know, Bubba had it coming. And then, but everybody in that locker room hated Bubba so much that they actually, Hogan was just like, you know what, just stay with Nash and Hall and Waltman, you know, basically just be their personal interviewer. I can't have you do anything else because everybody hates you and they'll probably try to kill you. And Dixie Carter's oblivious to all this because she's fucking stupid.
Yep.
I mean, you want to know, actually, you know, you want to know another reason why that company could not compete with WWE? Dixie Carter. She had no business running a wrestling company.
Who?
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe this. But I do have to say this. Once after 2007 hit, I'll say give it up to CM Punk's famous pipe bomb. I think that's what brought back WWE back to its high moments. Once that famous pipe bomb of CM Punk dropped, I enjoy TNA over the WWE.
Well, and I agree with you. From 2007 on, from 2007 to about 2010, I enjoyed TNA better than I enjoyed WWE because TNA, you know, WWE was going downhill because they didn't know, they could not recuperate from the whole Chris Benoit thing.
I would say that.
Well, I don't think it was the whole Chris Benoit thing that, like, had nothing to do with it. I'm just thinking about, like, just off talent wise. Here you have a brand new thing. You have a young AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. You have Kurt Angle showing up there and starting an awesome rivalry with Samoa Joe. I mean, I can watch those matches with Samoa Joe. That was totally awesome. Then you had the WWE boys showing up, Team 3D.
Yeah.
The Hardy boys, and then that's when Matt Hardy finally breaks into this. Matt and Jeff goes their separate ways, and Jeff becomes like an awesome singles competitor. I think what they did with the tag teams and then having the X Division, I think that's what made it awesome too. The Ultimate X, and then having and how they treated the women over there, I think really helped jumpstart the women's revolution and the WWE. So, right, the women in TNA was treated like men. I mean, women, you saw women have their own last man standing match, first blood matches. These are women, the knockouts. Women, you would never thought.
Yeah. Right.
We'll take a chair shot in WWE, beating, and having steel cage matches. Like, everybody's talking about the Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair headlining Hell in a Cell, that one in 2016, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's not the really first steel cage match. TNA was doing that way before WWE decided, okay, we'll finally let our women do it.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree with all that. I think that's when fans started to realize, too, that there's better wrestling other places at some point. Because back then, 2007, 2008, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, they're all going to give you way better matches than John Cena, Batista, Randy Orton. So it really was the perfect alternative at the time. It just had terrible bookers at certain points that really fucked it up. But when it comes to talent, there's a reason that WWE's locker room right now is basically 2009 TNA. And that's because those guys are super talented.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. Dixie Carter, and again, I'll say this, Dixie Carter had about as much business running a wrestling company as I do running a gym. Okay. So, I mean, basically, she had no idea what the hell she was doing. She had people in her ear that were out for them, that were out for themselves, that had basically run other places into the ground, Vince Russo, and obviously, and, you know, Bischoff too.
Yep.
When you have three of the main cancers that basically helped kill WCW in Eric Bischoff, Vince Russo, and Terry Taylor helping run your company, you're fucked. Because they already killed one. What makes you think they're not going to kill another?
Exactly.
Right.
That's why I want Eric Bischoff nothing to do with AEW.
Okay. Let me ask you guys this. Looking at past, like, the good, what would you think would be, like, one of the best storylines they ever did come out of TNA?
The best storyline?
Yeah. Like, you actually look forward to watching and wanting to see what happens the following year.
Angle versus...
So. I'll give Plymouth this because Plymouth mentioned it earlier. I really like the Bully Ray stuff and when he first turned heel and went against AJ Styles, because as a young kid, I was an AJ Styles fan. So that made him like the top heel in my eyes because he took out the top babyface. And then he had a great run after that. And that's kind of put added new legs on the Bully's career. Just that run.
I agree with that. Yep.
Go ahead, Eric.
Sorry, Doug. No, go ahead first.
I was just going to say, I kind of like the stuff in at the beginning of 07 with Sting and Abyss. And the whole, and, you know, like Father James Mitchell and basically, you know, holding the secret, you know, Abyss having that secret of what happened to his father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like that whole thing and how Sting was basically trying to free Abyss from James Mitchell. And I thought that was kind of cool, but, you know, I thought that was kind of cool because it's just like Sting sees something in Abyss and he's trying to free him, but you got James Mitchell with this power over
him. Exactly.
And then finally, when they teamed up, they called it the Hell Freezes Over match.
Wow.
I know one thing I did like about it was after, like, the heel turn and the whole Aces and Ace saga. Because to me, that reminded me of the NWO for some strange reason or another. And I think the Aces and Ace started out great, but just like the NWO should have died off, that they did the exact same thing, which killed it in the end.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, guys. Chris Jericho recently revealed his Mount Rushmore of wrestling, and it's pretty interesting. I wanted to cover it on the show. His Mount Rushmore wrestler goes as follows: Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Hulk Hogan, and Ultimo Dragon. Doug, thoughts on this Mount Rushmore? That's Chris Jericho's.
He's allowed to have an opinion. And that's his personal Mount Rushmore. Everybody's Mount Rushmore is going to be the same. Or not going to be the same. It's going to be different. Mount Rushmore of wrestlers is basically it's Nick Bockwinkel because I actually think he's better than Flair, which I know a lot of people disagree with, but I would say Nick Bockwinkel, Randy Savage, Bret Hart, and Sting.
Flair's not even on the Rushmore?
No, because I don't like Ric Flair.
Right. I'll give you mine. I'll put Bruno Santana. Bruno, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, and Liger.
You know, Mount Rushmore is supposed to have three. Or Mount Rushmore is supposed to have four, right?
How many did I name? I did Bruno, Hogan, Austin,
Stone Cold,
and Liger. What's his name? The first name.
Chuchin Ben Liger.
Yeah.
That's an interesting Mount Rushmore. Quintus, you got one?
Yeah, but I'll see. Mine is going current. I will say Shawn Michaels. I will throw Undertaker, Bret Hart, and I will show Hogan in there too.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I can agree with all of you guys' list.
What's yours?
I'd probably go Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, and The Rock. I think those are the four biggest names ever in wrestling. Most influential.
Yeah. I did Bruno because people forget about Bruno and the stuff he did.
He's definitely... I mean, in terms of a Mount Rushmore, that makes sense to put him in there because he paved the way for a lot of guys.
You say a lot of people forget about him. A lot of people forget about him because he was back in the 60s and had another run in like the late 70s. But a lot of people, like a lot of modern fans, might only remember him as the guy that wanted to see Vince McMahon fail because he didn't like the way the company was going.
Yeah.
Every fucking steroid piece that any news program ran back in the, back in the late 80s, early 90s, where they were trying to take down the WWF because of the steroid use, Bruno was always at the front of that.
Wow.
Because Bruno didn't like Vince Jr.
No.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't like the – he was one of those old heads that thought that they're killing the business.
Yeah.
What Vince was doing.
Right, but the thing is, though, is that, like, he kind of forgave and forgot, and moved on. And unfortunately, he's no longer here because he decided he didn't want to be mad anymore.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that other piece of garbage that did the same thing because he was mad at Vince, superstar Billy Graham, never forgave and forgot, still has a fucking axe to grind, is still bitching, and, unfortunately, he's still alive.
Right.
The nice guy died, the dick's still around.
All right, let's move on from that. Florida governor deems WWE and pro wrestling as a whole an essential business. Thoughts on that, fellas?
It's a joke.
To do with money.
I mean, it's all money.
Is there a deeper thing going on here, or is it just they're greedy and WWE makes money?
I said last
I would
week
like
that
to...
Vince McMahon. Go ahead, Eric.
No, sorry, Doug. You go first.
You go ahead and make your point. I mean, obviously, it was important enough to interrupt me.
No, it's probably the same point, but I think I think it's all about money and power.
Doug, what are you going to say about it?
The XFL folded. Vince McMahon has nothing to do right now. All right? Vince McMahon cannot focus any more attention on the XFL because he had to declare bankruptcy. He's already losing a lot of money. He doesn't want to lose any more money from WWE. And he's 74 years old. All right? When you get to be 74 years old, you don't want to just be sitting in your rocking chair eating pudding and putting a puzzle together.
Right.
Okay? He needs something to focus on.
Yeah.
I mean, his wife's barely home. She's helping some jackass ruin the country. So, you know, what's he got to focus on? I believe he did this as a way to keep himself busy. Because if
yeah.
he doesn't, he's just going to sit home and die.
Oh my God.
So here's what I think about this. It's not about more about money. I think it's totally like different. I mean, nothing about wrestling is essential, because what you're doing is, especially when the reports come out, okay, you become essential, and 2 days later you find out that one of your employees comes down with a COVID. Now, after that, I don't want nothing to do with it. I mean, automatically, you want to shut down. I mean, I understand you have TV contracts, but it was just also read like 2 days ago that they said USA and Fox said they were not going to restructure the deal with the company during this time of the year. Knowing that, knowing that you're not going to restructure your contract, you could go back to your original plan. You don't need to be live every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's no point because you're putting everybody in horrible danger, especially
exactly.
your top stars. Like, there's rumors saying that there's heat on Roman Reigns because he dropped out of WrestleMania. Well, Roman Reigns is on the leukemia thing. You're dealing with a man with cancer here, and you're telling him that you're upset because you don't want to wrestle on one of the biggest shows of the year. It's not even in front of nobody. You're having it at your performance center.
Yep. And he has a pregnant wife now, so.
That's the thing. Go ahead, Clintus.
No, go ahead. I'm good.
I was just going to say that, like, that's the thing, is that, like, you know, Vince, and again, you would think, okay, an employee came down with COVID-19. So, okay, because an employee came down with it, we don't want anybody else to get, you know, we don't want anybody else to get sick. We're shutting down. But I think also, and it's kind of like a bravado, or like, that's kind of like a pride type thing too, is that like everybody else shut down. So maybe in Vince's mind, he's thinking, okay, we need to keep going. So, you know, because there's also a lot of pride here. At first, a lot of businesses did not want to shut down. They were just like, you know what, we're going to try to be clean. We're going to have people disinfect and all that, but we're going to stay open because, you know, people are going to get bored and we don't want to put anybody out of business.
Yeah.
Well, then the government stepped in and basically said, no, get the fuck out of here. The sooner we can get you fuckers home, the sooner we can get this thing under control.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. What do you think,
man? All right, next story. What's up?
What do you think?
About what? Coronavirus?
But this essential.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They're not essential. There's some places that are essential that are closed down right now. And pro wrestling is not essential. You know, I
exactly.
do think I do think if you get both guys cleared and tested, having two guys in a ring in front of no fans isn't the biggest thing in the world. I don't think they're hurting anybody by staying open, but calling them essential is a little ridiculous. If everyone's supposed to stay home, let them fucking stay home. There's a lot of big companies losing money here, not just WWE. Yes, Vince is kind of fucked financially, so I understand his motives, but you also, these guys have families too. They have people promoting to stay home and stay safe, but their employees aren't able to do that. So that's a little ridiculous.
And here's another thing too, and then we can move on. It's the fact that at one point the Florida authorities tried to shut them down. Came in and they said no. They said you're not essential. You gotta go. You're done. Get out. Go home. And then WWE was just like, okay, yeah, sure, no problem. You go ahead and leave, and we'll be right behind you. And they kept going. So I think Florida basically had two choices. Either fucking throw them in jail or just call them essential. And for some reason, they didn't want to throw them in jail. So they called them essential. Technically you have three choices. Throw them in jail, call them essential, or just fucking shoot them.
Yeah.
And obviously, obviously they didn't want to run with the first and third option.
No. And let's move on, because I want to talk about the Ronda Rousey situation. Because she's catching a lot of deserved heat. I'm just going to read this transcript of what she said. You guys can interpret it, talk about it. Alexa Bliss clapped back. I want to get into that because what she said was awesome. But what Ronda said was, I love the WWE. And this was on Steve O's podcast. She said, I love the WWE. I had such a great time. Love all the girls in the locker room. Running out there and having fake fights for fun is just the best thing. I love choreography. I love acting. I love theater, live theater, and some of the last forms of live theater. But I was doing basically part-time, and I was away from home 200 days out of the year. When I did get home, I was so sleep-deprived because you just don't have time to lay down. So she basically said it was fake fights, and that upset a lot of people. Doug, as someone who loves pro wrestling, is enamored with the business, are you offended by these comments, or do you see why people in pro wrestling are offended?
I see why people in pro wrestling are offended because, you know, she called it fake fighting. Didn't she hurt a lot of people?
She hurt Alexa Bliss, and that's who clapped back.
Okay. So here's the thing. When you're used to cage fighting, which is what she is, she's a cage fighter. I mean, the only cage she really belongs in is a kennel, but, you know, she's a cage fighter. And so you get in there, and UFC and WWE are completely different animals. Even though the two guys that run those places are both pieces of shit. But it's two completely different animals. In WWE, they try not to let people get hurt. You don't want somebody to get hurt because then that person won't be able to make any money. In UFC, the more bones you break, the more money you make.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ronda came back and basically said that it's insulting to UFC fighters and MMA fighters to act like wrestling's on the same level. What do you think about that?
Nobody's saying they're on the same level.
No, WWE's entertainment, and UFC is a bunch of bloodthirsty drunks that want to see people fucking get killed.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
All right, it's a bunch of stupid fucks that want to pay $60 to see somebody get their bones breaking.
Breaking's actually not a word. So Alexa Bliss.
I meant to say broken, but.
Alexa Bliss commented on the situation. She said the fact that she called it fake could be her opinion on it, but it's offensive to everyone that has had injuries, myself included, because I've gone in the company 6 years without having a single injury. And then I wrestled her and ended up having a whole documentary based on multiple concussions that I wasn't even sure I was going to be cleared to ever be in the ring again. So when someone does that, it's offensive. It's offensive to the girls that have worked their butts off.
Yep.
Can the theater agree with the comments made by Bliss?
Yeah, in a way I do. I can see where Alexa Bliss is coming from because she was more careful in the ring. Watching her match with Ronda Rousey, though, I think Ronda really took it, like, you could see the small grudge going into, like, after Money in the Bank. I figure going in that SummerSlam and then the pay-per-view afterwards, it was really how they interacted in the ring was totally different. Like, when she knew she cost her that women's championship match, I think that turned a light bulb on into Rousey's thinking, because watching her in that match, she looked really bloodthirsty, like that was actually a cage, how she took out Alexa Bliss.
I'll say that. Didn't Alexa, though, like really whack her with the briefcase?
Yeah, she did. And then
yeah.
What she did, and then going back to what Rhonda says, if you ever watch her YouTube channel, she also came out, I guess, during her so-called, I'm not even sure if you want to call it a heel turn, because she came out and admitted that wrestling was fake, it's all scripted, it's all this, it's all that. Right there on her YouTube channel.
The thing about Ronda Rousey is that Ronda, again, it's a different mentality. You know, you have the UFC mentality. It's just like, okay, you know, we actually go out there and we beat the shit out of each other. WWE is basically of the mentality we have to protect who we're in the ring with so they don't get hurt. We have to do these moves carefully.
Exactly.
UFC fighters are not careful. The only UFC fighter that I've actually seen be careful, to be honest with you, has been Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about Shayna Baszler then? So to tell you the truth, how she wrestles, I think she's more of a, even though it might be more of a cage fighter than a character, I think she's even more better off. Sonya Deville is more like a A-plus player, not a B-plus player, in behind us. They finally had a spotlight this Friday night on SmackDown.
Well, here's the thing. With Sonya Deville, she's not meant to be like a main event player, but because she has that MMA background, but she's more careful in the ring because she had the proper training. Shayna Baszler, first of all, here's what I think of Shayna Baszler. I think her and Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, I'm pretty sure, visit the same vet. And that vet needs to put them both to sleep. Okay. But the thing is that, again, it's a different mentality. I mean, and Matt Riddle's not that, you know, I'm bashing UFC fighters because I think they're all bums. But Matt Riddle's really not that bad either. Like, Matt Riddle never, I don't think, has ever tried to hurt anybody.
No.
So I'll take that back. Like, Sonya Deville and Matt Riddle, I think, are the only two, like, MMA fighters that aren't, you know, pieces of shit.
Right. Yeah, I hate Ronda Rousey. I mean, I know hate is a strong word, but I can't stand her.
Well, yeah, and I know you don't, but see, you're also a UFC fan.
Yeah.
You're one of you're one of those boobs that would pay the $65.
No, I don't pay $65. I actually use Stream, but
you wait till your brother comes home and then you have him front the bill.
No, we actually go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch it for free.
Oh, so you have, but still, you have somebody else front the bill so you don't have to pay.
Exactly.
I'm saying we were blocking.
Yeah, that's smart, Doug. You fucking dickhead.
Yeah,
nobody,
it's very
nobody
hypocritical
really
of me to say that too. All
right, there's one more article I want to get into, guys, before we talk about the whole money in the bank situation. Did you guys read about the revival? What?
Oh, go ahead.
Did you guys read about the revival at WWE's proposed comedy gimmick for him, and they had all these sketches for him before they left?
No, I didn't see that.
They were going to have him be a comedy group. Doug, did you read this?
Oh, wow.
No, I did not read it.
I kind of read it.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, if I'm the only one that saw it, they were going to turn them into a comedy group. And some of these sketches, oh my God, they have them in the sketches, because I saw the sketches. It looks like they were going to kind of dress them up like how Kendrick and London used to dress up in like the baggy athletic shorts and the hood. And then they were going to have Dash Wilder wear a Cat in the Hat top hat. And I swear to God, I'm not making this shit up. And I guess that was the gimmick they were going to give him, and they were going to be a comedy gimmick. So, safe to say,
thank God
the revival got the fuck away from WWE.
Yep, thank God they got away.
It's bad enough they put itching powder in their trousers. Alright, so let's talk about... What's up?
Well, I'm saying, well, it just goes back to what everybody's saying there about what Vince usually try to do. Where everybody wants to bury everybody else or make them look bad before he gets rid of them.
Yeah. And that, I think that certainly would have done the job. You put a guy in a top hat, I don't know if he could get over after that.
Yep.
But, so let's talk about the meat and potatoes, the stories we've heard today. Money in the Bank is going to have a new concept this year. There's going to be a men and a women's match, from what I've heard. And they're going to be competing.
That's not the new concept.
Huh?
That's not the new concept.
Shut up. So it's going to be the men and the women. And they're going to be in the headquarters, basically Titan Towers, WWE headquarters. They're going to be fighting throughout the building. The briefcases are going to be on the roof. Guys, what was your initial thoughts when you first heard about this?
If they're going to fight in the building, somebody better go into Vince's office and piss in his plants.
I think it's a cool idea.
It's a cool idea. But it's just going to be like another Money in the Bank is going to be like another WrestleMania where it's all going to be just like tape. You know it's going to be like a bump. I expect it to be more like a Boneyard type atmosphere, let's put it that way. Like,
oh, really? Okay.
Like a movie type of thing. Like a movie type of deal, let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
so you're thinking instead of just it's a match inside of the Titan Towers, you think it's going to be shot like in an action movie type way?
Well, it has to be. There's some rumors going around that it might actually be shot in type of way because the ring is going. They say they're going to have a wrestling ring on the roof. They're actually going to have a wrestling ring on a roof, and you're still going to have a ladder. A client.
Yeah, that's pretty high up.
Did anyone else think this was a late April Fool's joke when they read this? Because I thought they were fucking with me.
When I saw the picture, I didn't know what it was.
How dangerous is this, though? Titan Towers. Well, it's not necessarily called Titan Towers anymore. It is called WWE Headquarters. WWE Headquarters is a very tall building.
And in six months, you're actually going to have it
to where you still have to climb the fucking ladder to get. What if they push somebody off the top of the fucking ladder and that person has a misstep and not only falls off the fucking ladder and falls off the fucking building?
All right, and this is why I'm saying if they're doing this, I'm expecting
they might have
to
glasses
be like
around there.
Type. I don't know. I think they're actually going to shoot it more like an action movie type of way, like the Boneyard.
That's
and
smart.
Had the Firefly Funhouse. Now, men's wise, I love the idea. Women, and I'm not really sure. I'm not saying that women can't wrestle, but I'm just saying you need to have the right people in the right acting type of way. Because it's no building I feel comfortable fighting in a building knowing I have to fight upstairs, get thrown downstairs. Don't know what happened.
It's going to be interesting how they do this.
Well, the thing is I find it funny because if it is just a regular, and by the way, Clint is right. That is smart if they make it into an action movie like that. I think that's the best way to probably go. But
yeah, but then they could do that. They could do that. They could do that roof bump, and they can have somebody kind of fall off the top of the building. And obviously, you know, they'll have the nets there to catch them.
Yeah, so they could make that work. But the funny part about this whole thing is they're moving WWE headquarters in about 6 months. They just paused production because of all the cuts and everything that's going on. But they are moving. So maybe they're just trying to fuck the building up before they leave. Just like how they said they like to ruin like gimmicks and talents before they leave the company. Maybe they want to fuck the building up too.
Maybe. I never actually thought of that.
Just start breaking shit. Does this idea excite you at all, Doug?
Huh?
Does this idea excite you at all?
I want to see how it turns out. But I mean, here's the thing. And you can tell that a lot of the talent, I thinks that this is stupid. Because look at who's all qualified for the women's match so far. Nia Jax qualified, Asuka qualified, Shayna Baszler qualified, and Dana Brooke qualified. I can almost guarantee, and Natalya wants nothing to do with this, because it's going to be three from Raw, three from SmackDown. Natalya wants nothing to do with this. I doubt Sasha Banks is going to want anything to do with this.
Right.
Has there been any guys
there now? I really don't think Alexa Bliss is going to want to be part of this.
No.
No.
Is there any dudes announced?
Daniel Bryan qualified Friday night on SmackDown, which surprises me that he's still wrestling. I thought he would have been home with Brie by now.
Well, I think Brie saying that she's making her stay in a hotel. Go home. He's not allowed
now. Because she's pregnant.
Well, yeah.
She's still pregnant, right?
Well, yeah, she's still pregnant. And isn't her, Nikki living with them too?
No, Nikki actually lives next door.
Okay.
Nikki
well,
has, so
Dang,
Nikki
was that our doorbell?
Not mine.
definitely not mine.
He put me on mute, and I can hear him downstairs saying, shut up. But the thing, Daniel Bryan qualified, and then tomorrow night on Raw, they have three qualifiers for the Raw side. It's going to be MVP versus Apollo Crews, Austin Theory versus Aleister Black, and Rey Mysterio versus Murphy. And,
right.
that again just proves to me that a lot of like the bigger name talent really wants nothing to do with this thing.
Can't blame
yeah.
him too much. You can't blame him, but now this
no,
is like
I don't blame
giving
him.
Now this is like actually giving someone like a big chance. Your big name talent do not want nothing to do with it. So do you think that you now you're entrusting the small name talent? Do they take it, whoever wins this, take it and run with it?
If they're smart, Aleister Black is winning the men's briefcase. He's going to cash it in on McIntyre, and he's going to turn heel.
No way.
Aleister Black
this,
would make a pretty good heel.
This match,
I think
it's going to – huh?
I agree with Doug.
Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Daniel.
I think this match could be – first of all, whoever wins it could look phenomenal if they shoot it in the way like an action movie. Because Undertaker looks super badass. He looked the best he's ever looked in the past 5 years in that Boneyard match because they shot it like a movie. So there's not fans there to boo if they don't like it. So whoever wins this could look really good. And even some of the other people, you know, just from like throwing somebody through windows or something, someone could look super badass. So this is smart for the younger talent. And this is smart for WWE to keep the bigger, because the bigger talent doesn't need that. You know, we already know that those guys are badass. But now, if some younger talent or some newer guys can come in and really show what they're made of during this and make it look cool, I think it can be a good platform for them.
I agree with that.
I agree with that too.
Is there anything we want to add on this topic, guys, before we head off?
No, we still have,
no,
we still have to talk about
but there's still,
Dark Side
yeah,
and
there's still a couple more
John
things
Moxley
we have
and,
to talk about.
Doug or Eric, who is speaking?
We're both saying the same thing.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch Dark Side of the Ring, so that's on you guys.
All right, well, before we get to Dark Side of the Ring, because the episode sucked, why don't we mention something that doesn't – well, I mean, it sucks that he's gone, but Howard Finkel.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace to Howard Finkel.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Another good person gone while there's still pieces of shit roaming the earth.
Yep.
Yeah. And,
it was only 59.
The other day I watched back to that CM Punk match in Madison Square Garden versus Del Rio when he had Finkel come out and announce him and he was like crying. And that was
that
such
was
a cool
good, that gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, so that was awesome. Yeah, RIP. It's a terrible loss for wrestling. It sucks.
Yes, it is.
But
yeah. And then, of course, Dark Side of the Ring, the Jimmy Snuka episode aired this past Tuesday night. Clint, did you have a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I did watch it.
Okay. What'd you think?
I learned a lot. Because
yeah, so did I.
Jimmy Snuka was a now the whole now it looks like the whole thing about him being arrested for killing his wife, which and then how the whole how he was able to get out of it. It's just it was eye opening. Let's put it that way. I mean, I look at the man a totally different than what I ever thought it can be.
I agree with that.
I mean,
I think there's a lot of cover up.
Yeah, there's a lot of cover up because he was at that time he was Vince's biggest star.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, it just shows Vince in another light too.
he's a piece of shit, as you said before.
Well, technically, that's not another light. I've been saying that for years. But the thing of it is that, like, you know, the whole snooker thing. First of all, this woman that was supposedly in love with him, he was still married when he was hanging out, when he was around this woman.
Yep.
He was married, technically still married with four kids.
Yeah,
so
he was...
obviously it's not going to end that well. Because when you're having an affair with a younger woman and you're still married, so, I mean, and this is, anybody that's watched enough fucking crime shows knows this. If you're having an affair with an older married man, somebody's going to end up dead.
Yeah, probably.
I've watched enough episodes of Law and Order to know this.
So do I.
You're really going
to
base
that
on Law and Order.
It's just more, I mean, and to be honest with you, there's too many similarities between this and the whole Benoit thing.
Plus, both women are named Nancy. Go figure.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, the thing is that I mean, it was something horrible that happened. I'm not going to downplay it. I'm not going to say that this is Nancy Argentino's fault. Snooker knows what he did.
Yeah.
All right, and that's on him. Now, next, this upcoming Tuesday's episode is about the assassination of Dino Bravo.
Ooh.
And we're gonna learn, I'm sure, an awful lot about Mr. Bravo.
Exactly. Before we head out, what do you guys think of the brawl between Mox and Hager? We forgot to touch on that.
I just watched it. I thought it was amazing.
Go ahead. No, sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
I thought Hager looked the best that he's ever looked in a wrestling ring. I thought that's if WWE could have fucking made him look like that, you know, he could have been big money. And him and Moxley kicking the shit out of each other is awesome. So I really enjoyed it.
I want to see another one.
And the funny thing about that is after the match was over with, and Moxley was declared the winner, he's sitting there, he's laying down on the ground going, oh, my God, my balls. Because, you know, just a couple minutes prior to that, Hager kneed him in the nuts. But he's laying there. He couldn't get up for a few minutes. Like, he's just laying there, and he's like, I can't move. My balls hurt.
Yeah. So,
it's not like, you know, you're going to have somebody running down with an ice pack to put it on your giblets.
You got anything
I
want to
say something, but I don't think it's appropriate for it to air.
Have you not been listening to me?
No, I just don't want to say it. I'll test you it.
Oh, you're going to say something about Renee Young having to come down and ice down his balls?
Oh, you read my mind. Damn it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'm pretty much good. You guys have got to do it.
All right. Oh, Clint, what do you think of that match?
I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. That was on my to-do list today. That's what I usually do on my Sunday, catch up on everything.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
I you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. Daniel, if you haven't hung up yet, take us home.
He hung up. I'll take
that
us home.
Boy.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to This Week in Wrestling. We'll be back next Sunday. And then, of course, we'll be back on Friday for our old school. I guess it's called that because we do old school stuff. Mm-hmm. So
it's called
for,
the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. It's called it by its actual name.
Yeah, Unscripted Wrestling Podcast on Friday and then next Sunday for our Unscripted Wrestling podcast, This Week in Wrestling show. So,
oh yeah, the fantasy war concept. It's gonna be fantastic. We should know.
Yes, it will be.
We should know all the matches we're doing. Hopefully by Tuesday or Wednesday.
It's gonna be fantastic. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. All right, so we'll talk to everybody on Friday. Or Clintus, we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yep, for Clintus, Doug, and right. Daniel, and me, we're out of here. Bye.
All right, bye guys.
Later.